On Monday's front page, Egypt's military dissolved parliament and called for elections in 6 months. In this country, the housing crash is hitting cities experts had thought were stable. The pain is now being felt in places that were less caught up in the boom. And limiting health care costs for retired state workers. States are facing $500 billion in unfunded health insurance premiums. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Egyptian military consolidated its control over what it's called a democratic transition. The military dissolved parliament, suspended the constitution, and called for elections in 6 months. The statement from the Supreme Council of Armed Forces echoed the demands of protesters who brought down President Hosni Mubarak. The statement said there'd be a committee to draft constitutional amendments, but there's almost no check on military rule. That has opposition leaders worried. Some demonstrators have differing opinions about what to do next, down to whether they should leave Tahrir Square in Cairo. Correspondent Stephen Farrell filed this report.
A coalition of protest leaders held a press conference. All agreed it was time to leave the Cairo landmark that has become a symbol of the protests. But after 15 minutes, the press conference dissolved into arguments. Was the revolution over? Was it really time to leave Tahrir Square? In Tahrir Square, the very same issues were being debated. Some still don't trust the regime. With Mubarak's departure, this movement got the first thing it wanted. From here on in, it gets a lot messier.
Correspondent Stephen Farrell. Monday's Times looks at the youth movement that sprung up in the Arab world. Young activists in Egypt brainstormed with their counterparts in Tunisia. They collaborated on using technology to evade surveillance. They also traded practical advice. One Facebook message from Tunisia told the Egyptians, put vinegar or onions under your scarf if they use tear gas. Meantime, anti-government demonstrations erupted in Yemen over the weekend. The protests there were organized largely through text messages. There were clashes with security forces, and a small group tried to rush the palace of President Ali Abdullah Saleh. They were beaten back by riot police. Monday's Times has an update on Representative Gabrielle Giffords. It's been 5 weeks since she was shot in Tucson and left with a traumatic brain injury. She's relearning how to speak. She's been mouthing words and lip-syncing songs. A friend videotaped her mouthing the words to Happy Birthday. That was a surprise for her astronaut husband, Captain Mark Kelly. Her mother says rehabilitation is slow-going and exhausting, but she's making steady progress. Governors and mayors are trying to rein in health costs for retired government workers. State employees in 14 states have health insurance premiums of zero, but officials have to deal with an estimated $555 billion in unfunded liabilities for coverage for retired state employees. That figure came from the Pew Center for the States. It said New Jersey had the largest unfunded liability at just under $69 billion. California was second at $62.4 billion. Here in New York, state court officials are going to bar elected judges from hearing cases involving lawyers who donate to their campaigns. The rule says a case can't be assigned to a judge if any of the participants donated more than $2,500 over the last 2 years. Times reporter William Glaberson says that's tougher than the rules already on the books in Washington, Oklahoma, and Michigan. The self-styled Colonel Sanders of New York's tight-knit Afghan community has declared a fried chicken war. Abdul Hay says he has a special secret recipe. He also owns the trademark for Kennedy Fried Chicken, a knockoff of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Kennedy outlets he doesn't own have sprung up as far south as Georgia. He's sending them letters demanding they pay him fees or face legal action. Inside Monday's Times, some places are seeing a double dip in housing prices. The communities losing the most are not so-called bubble cities in the Southwest and Florida. Over the last year, Seattle posted bigger price drops than Las Vegas. Minneapolis did worse than Miami, and Atlanta fared worse than Phoenix. The data firm CoreLogic said last week that home prices fell 5.5% in 2010. That took prices back to the recession low of March 2009. Italians took to the streets shouting their frustration with Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. The demonstration reflected the anger at the role of women in Berlusconi's Italy. A sex scandal has mesmerized Italians. A judge is expected to rule in the coming days on whether the 74-year-old prime minister should go to trial on charges he paid for sex with a 17-year-old woman. Also at issue is whether he intervened to get her released from custody after she was detained for theft. He and she deny any wrongdoing. In Japan, Groupon is facing growing pains. A restaurant near Tokyo botched a nationwide deal for a New Year's meal. That became a big media story. The restaurant couldn't handle the demand and delivered fish that was out of date, not the caviar promised in the ad. Monday's Business Day section says that led to a video apology.
Konnichiwa, my name is Andrew Mason. I'm the founder and CEO of Groupon. We featured a deal in Tokyo recently that we really messed up. This is a deal we ran a few days before.
Groupon got into the Japanese market last summer by buying a startup for an estimated $10 million. Monday's Business Day says President Hosni Mubarak's departure removed a major worry for global markets. Investors could be bullish, at least in the short term. Many are nervous about the longer-term picture in the Middle East, but market strategist Byron Wien says that for now, the upheaval is over, and that's good for stocks. The coming week promises fresh clues about where the economy is going. Data on retail sales will be out on Tuesday, housing starts on Wednesday, and consumer prices on Thursday. China's drought control headquarters posted a statement describing conditions as grim across much of the wheat belt. The statement called for emergency irrigation. Wheat prices in Chicago jumped nearly 2% last week after the UN Food Agency issued an alert of its own, saying China's wheat crop was in trouble. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.